Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
We're on the outskirts of Henman Hill experiencing Goff Mania, which has just taken a new level for the 15-year-old Coco Gauff, who has just won from match points down against Polona Herzog to reach the fourth round of Wimbledon. What an extraordinary story. She's 15 years of age, and we have spent the last hour chatting about what we were all doing when we were 15, and as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't pretty. Catherine Whittaker's back. Hello, Catherine. What were you doing at 15?
I was the absolute worst version of myself at 15.
Oh, yeah?
14/15 were not the peak Whittaker years.
Okay. What did they involve?
Just being a big loser, for one thing.
Oh.
But definitely not going out into centre court and winning tennis matches. Just to be... I mean, I feel like anything we're going to say about her is already a cliche and already hackneyed before we've even said it, even though she won about 4 minutes ago right behind us. It's sort of already a cliche. That is the extent to which this mania has taken hold. As you were doing the intro there, I was slightly distracted by trying to think of names for a hill beginning with either C or G.
Okay.
So if you could leave me with that for a few moments. Yeah. Matt, take it away.
What were you doing when you were 15 about 3 weeks ago?
I mean, probably looking at tennis stats, to be honest.
Preparing for this very moment.
Yeah. That was unreal, wasn't it? We just came up here to the hill and there were people literally standing on tables so they could catch a...
You were standing on a table.
I was standing on a table.
We can't all be 6'7".
I've got that photo.
To catch a sort of obstructive view of the screen, just to catch a glimpse of what feels like such a huge moment.
And what's interesting, I mean, there are thousands of people on that hill still right now who are just chatting about what they've just witnessed. And Catherine and I went over while you were setting up the equipment here on this picnic table, and Catherine and I went over and just had a little look at the screen and also soaked up that reaction because, you know, these people, the players can't hear them. Right? But they're cheering and shouting, come on, and applauding. And when she won that match, it was like being inside centre court, is how I would imagine it, because every single person on Henman Hill, in unison, cheered and screamed and shouted and lapped up the moment, and yet they're just watching a big screen. But that's the atmosphere of Wimbledon, and it's also the impact that this young 15-year-old has had. I mean, what nerve she had to stay in it.
And it's amazing how her story is translating to the people because, well, as just discussed, there is nothing relatable about her at all. I mean, nothing about watching Coco Gauff reminds me of my experience of being a 15-year-old. She's sort of already superhuman. And look, I'm not going to say the sort of slightly grumpy things that I could say about the story. I do have sort of slight reservations about the whole fairy tale story about the fact that she's been groomed for this from such a young age. I mean, she looks like she's enjoying it, but what if she didn't? Would she be able to not do this? But anyway, we shouldn't.
Well,
now's perhaps not the moment to.
Sloane Stephens did say that in her press conference yesterday, I think it was. She said she's a kid. Like,
yeah.
She needs to still be a kid.
And I'm hearing an awful lot of discussion about how ridiculous the age eligibility rules suddenly are. I mean, Roger Federer's weighed in on them, hasn't he?
What did he say?
He said he thinks they're silly.
Laura Robson was saying on air with us today that she thinks they're ridiculous. That how could you deny this young woman with this sort of potential from playing tennis when she wants to play tennis?
For the sake of her life. For the sake of the 40, 50 years of her life that she has after she stops playing tennis, maybe more. For the sake of perhaps her tennis career, there are enough
cautionary tales.
There are enough of them.
There
is a reason that those rules were brought in, and
well,
I still believe in them.
You know, better safe than sorry, really, is what I would say. But as for this as a moment, it's quite something. It really is quite something. It has captured the imagination, and she is rising to it. She seems to be lapping it up. I have to say, she was helped out by Polona Herzog big time, because Herzog played a beautiful match, slicing and dicing, until such a point as she was on the brink of victory, and she folded.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, Goff looked down and out, and two things needed to happen for her to get back into it. She needed to trend upwards, and she needed Herzog to trend downwards a little bit, and those two things did happen. But Goff saved a match point with a sliced backhand onto the line winner. I mean, if that isn't an indication of someone who has something so special, what is? And what a different match this was today to all the other ones. She's proven that she can win in different ways. I mean, she had it kind of... She was in front the whole time in her previous two matches. Now she's having to fight back. She's so composed, whether she's in the lead or behind. Just the experience of watching her play is just phenomenal.
And coping with a centre court billing, the prime time centre court billing, and not because of who her opponent was, or not even in part due to who her opponent was. She was the draw.
Hmm. Yeah. It's 30 years since I was 15. I can barely remember it. But I know that involved, yeah. I mean, the only sport I did was maybe running to the bus stop if I was a bit late, and then when I got there, you know, trying to run to the alleyway for a quick smoke before school, and then if I could be bothered, go and buy a wrestling magazine.
I think that's probably more relatable content, wrestling aside.
Mm. Yeah,
wrestling.
I was into that.
You and Roger Federer both.
It's where I got my hype love from.
David Law, hype man.
Yeah. Well done Coco Gauff, who now faces Simona Halep, who I actually got to interview on BBC 5 Live earlier today. And it was one of those where I was told, could you come and quickly interview Simona Halep, please, because we've got nobody else to do it. I'm thinking, oh,
charming.
Thanks
yeah.
for the compliment there. So off I ran, and I sort of didn't run because I'm not really a runner. I just
not
sort of
since you
no
were
longer 15.
Yeah.
No, I just sort of lolloped, and I got there. And little did I know, she was already sitting in the chair when I got there, waiting for me. Otherwise, I might have shown a bit more urgency. And I got in there, and she was.
There are some that probably wouldn't have waited.
No, oh, she was absolutely.
And
lovely.
there are more who would have told you how annoyed they were at having to wait
yeah.
once you got
there. I arrived, and she looked at me, and everybody staring at me, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, it's not my fault.
What a hospital
I should
pass
say
that is.
Not my fault."
Can you go
all.
And be late for a former world number one,
yeah.
please?
Who's sitting there? And I said, "I'm so sorry, Simona." And she said, "Oh, it's fine. Don't worry." And then somebody said to me, "You know, you must be really quick. You've only got two questions." Anyway, then we closed the door on that person, and we carried on. And Simona was delightful, and actually, she said she has a little twinkle in her eye when she talks about her form and her hopes. She doesn't just sort of batter down lines of questioning. She said, "You know, I really would like to win another Grand Slam." You know, and I said, "Well, do you think if you play as well as you can that you could?" And you could tell that she does think that that is in her. I mean, excuse me, she beat Victoria Azarenka today in a match that we really weren't expecting to be one-sided, and it was. I didn't see it. I would assume that she was helped a little bit along the way by Azarenka today.
Azarenka hit 33 unforced errors in 66 minutes, which is not a good...
Surprised by that.
It was a bizarre total. Match, because actually Azarenka was leading with the break in the first set, and it looked all sort of set up. And then suddenly she just disappeared. Halep just was only having to get the ball in.
And I feel like we have seen that a little bit with Azarenka this year. I think this was an alarming performance. But we have seen Azarenka play really well, and we've been expecting a big result from her. And then she's not quite been able to deliver it. I think she, I mean, just at the French Open the other week, she played well against Osaka, but she couldn't quite finish her off. And I think a lot of people were, us, you know, all of us were thinking that she might beat Halep today, but she just never found the consistency of her top level, and that seems to be her issue this year in the big matches.
I think I'm 1 for 5 in my predictions this week.
Yeah.
Or 1 for 4. How do you say it? 1 out of 5, 1 for 4.
It's pretty tough, though. Like we were saying last night, we go for the spectacular because that's the premise of the predictions. We are the Nick Kyrgios of predictions.
Mine are in flames, raised to the ground, yeah. my predictions.
I didn't get mine right.
I'm trying to hedge now. I'm trying to hedge my pre-tournament long-term predictions with my daily predictions.
Are your long-term ones doing all right?
No, it's all,
it's all
and
going
yet suddenly,
wrong.
And
so
yet,
everything's wrong.
It's all wrong.
Okay.
I have Halep in my final. She's my golden egg.
Okay, well, if that's all whetted your appetite, sign up to our newsletter because we're doing daily predictions, one match per day, and Matt's got his finger in the air because he's about to show off.
There was one correct prediction today.
Here we go. Go on.
There almost was.
It wasn't looking good when Zhang Shui was 4-love down to Wozniacki and, in my words, could not get the ball in the court.
We were getting feverish messages, Catherine and I, at this point.
But she turned it around and she knocked out Caroline Wozniacki on court two. And Wozniacki does not like court two. She said in her press conference, "We're not friends." And I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to look up her record on court two. She's gone out on that court 5 times at Wimbledon.
She was having a right old whinge about Hawkeye as well.
She does get scheduled on it a lot, just in slight mitigation. She's
too
sort
much.
Of, at Wimbledon, she's...
She's that kind of tier.
She's considered that kind of tier, isn't she? She elicited a statement from Wimbledon about the Hawkeye technology, such was her displeasure with what went on out there.
And the umpire seems to be agreeing with her that he thought Hawkeye was a bit dodgy as well. I don't know whether... Has Hawkeye ever been turned off because they think it's wrong?
Maybe. But they used to do that with Cyclops, that machine that used to beep when it was looking at the one line. You know, you get players going down on their hands and knees to have a look at it. And then, can we turn this off? Maybe the sprinkler landed on Hawkeye, because during a match today, the courtside sprinkler went off and absolutely
which I know
drenched
that
people.
Sounds like a sort of gentle, happy midsummer, you know, shower. No, it was a near decapitation.
It was like one of those hoses that they use on hooligans at the Euro Championships.
Yeah, it was a water cannon.
They were aiming it at Ken Skupski.
Not that he's a hooligan in any way, shape or form. However, he did take the full brunt of the courtside sprinkler.
Just, again, to be dull and grumpy for a second, it does slightly highlight the fact that I don't think it's talked about enough that Hawkeye does have a 2 millimetre margin for error. It is not perfect. I'm okay with that. I still think it's a valid use of technology.
It is just taken for granted that it is right, isn't
it? Yeah, because I sort of instinctively, and I think human beings generally, instinctively, it feels more okay to have a knowable margin for error within machinery than a variable margin for error, variable human margin for error. I'm okay with it having a margin for error. I just think that pretending it's perfect when we know that it's not doesn't help anyone.
So, anyway, well done, Matt, with your prediction.
Well, and she now plays Yastremska.
Oh, look at his eyes lighting up. Here we go.
For a place in the quarterfinals.
And why is she relevant?
Well, firstly, she's very good.
She is very good.
And no, I understand that bit, but why are you so thrilled?
Well, because
about
I picked her to reach the Roland Garros quarterfinals.
Right.
She's won,
and she crashed out in the first round.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't have a bunch of Yastremska memories in my memory bank, but the most significant one for me is her crying after her lost to Serena Williams at the Australian Open, and boy, has she!
Yeah,
she obviously got back to the hotel last night and thought, "I don't want this happening again."
Serena, whose swings she used to copy while she was watching her play, and
oh really?
She used to sort of play the points along with her watching on TV.
What a lovely image that is!
But I used to do that as well.
But what it does mean
didn't
is
work
that
out so well. I learnt to play tennis by imitating the Williams sisters, I think.
Did you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ooh. My dad always said, you're a good imitator.
I used to...
Not necessarily a good tennis player.
I did used to shadow... How do you do it? Shadow stroke? Pete Sampras's game?
Yeah.
During finals against Andre Agassi?
Yeah. I mean... But during the match.
Why am I telling this story?
During the match.
Yeah.
You'd be like dancing around your living room.
Well, yeah.
That is the tennis nerd's equivalent of air guitar, isn't it?
I suppose you weren't as tall then. You weren't taking out lampshades.
I was 22. And I was wearing the denim shorts of the 1995 US Open final. Anyway, enough of that. Moving on.
But, are you really? But I can't tell if this is a joke.
No, but I don't do jokes.
Did Zhang, they make them in that size?
Zhang playing your strength
skirt. Are they hot pants?
Means that the streak of unseeded players in the quarterfinals of a slam goes on. 22 slams in a row, and there's been a woman in unseeded player in the quarterfinals.
And you have, and that it was that statistic that prompted your Kuzmova prediction at the Australian Open, and prompted your who was it at the French? Yastremska.
Yastremska. I don't think enough is said about that prediction. That is not prediction. That stat.
Freudian stat
reveals a lot about what happens in these slams. You know, 22 in a row, an unseeded player. Mm. It just shows that...
At least one unseeded player,
that there's opportunity and that seeds can go out and there's excitement. And it's a really revealing stat, I think. But I seem to be the only one flogging it at the moment, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Good man. See, Matt does his... He sort of dances to the beat of his own drum. I met his parents earlier on today, and we were stopped by Britta, who wanted to have her photo taken with the Tennis Podcast's Matt Roberts.
Yeah.
Wonderful moment.
You
very
got
nice.
Celebrity door stopped while you were with your parents.
Yeah. So cool.
That is amazing.
And I didn't arrange it. I wish I had thought of it.
What did they think?
They just burst out laughing.
Very funny. Well, hello, Britta, if you're listening. And hello, Ingrid, who I met yesterday. Yeah, it's all right. You can say hello to her. So, you know, we're not scary. And tell your friends, by the way, about the Tennis Podcast. Because we love it when people tell their friends and we get lots more listeners.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Talking of seeds who went out today, Kevin Anderson, fourth seed, beaten straight sets by the man who beats the runner-up of Wimbledon every year. Guido Pella. He beat Marin Cilic last year in the second round, and he's beaten Kevin Anderson in the third round today.
And his next opponent, Milos Raonic, 2016 finalist.
Oh, don't tell Milos that.
Freak him out. Preparation for playing Raonic, isn't it? Beating Anderson. I can't hear the words Guido Pella without hearing them spat out by Nick Kyrgios circa Madrid 20. 16, I think it was.
We're not talking about Nick Kyrgios.
That is how I hear those. I think he's still on court playing mixed doubles.
No, he lost.
Okay.
So that's his Wimbledon over.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Anderson was not good today.
No.
My dad watched that and he said my only explanation for Anderson's performance is that perhaps he was practicing on a bigger court because he kept hitting it so far out. Just.
Did he look injured? Were there any remnants of the elbow injury?
He looked very, very rusty, which was, I thought maybe he'd shaken off that rust with his first two matches where he didn't even lose serve. But it all sort of came out today, all the sort of lack of matches that he's had.
I think I must have some sort of spatial awareness issue in tennis, because, I mean, the court
seems... that as well?
Yeah, it seems massive to me, and it doesn't go in very often. Okay, Kevin Anderson's out, Gita Pella's through... Karolina Pliskova is through after pulling her hair out for a third time against Shea Sui in her matches between the two.
She said afterwards, she was asked about her next opponent, who I can't quite off the top of my head remember who it is, but she said it can't possibly be as bad as today.
I do love how blunt she is. Fantastic.
Yeah, Karolina Mukova?
Mukova. Who beat somebody at the US Open last year.
And she beat Annette. Well, yeah, she probably did if she went a round or two. Annette Kontaveit she beat
today. I mean, she really was unheard of at the US Open last year. She beat Muguruza at the US Open last year.
Oh, yes, you are right.
And it was
And she does have a lot of variety. I mean, not Shea levels of craziness.
But she can also belt it, I think. I think she can do a bit of both.
But I think that's a really big test passed for Pliskova, because Shea is clearly in her head. We saw, you know, those comments that she made about her the other day. And I think when you play Shea, she plants so many doubts in your mind. You have to overcome so much sort of self-questioning about your own game, and she just tests you in ways that other players don't. And we saw what happened with Naomi Osaka in Australia when she passed the Shea test. She then flew for the rest of the tournament, and that felt big for Pliskova today.
Novak Djokovic won today, and I was on that court, and it wasn't without a bit of a fright. It wasn't a fright, really. I mean, he lost a set, second set, on a tiebreak to...
Boris Becker. Such was Hurkacz's flying all over the court with his diving volleys.
Hubert Hurkacz.
Is there really been nobody since Boris Becker that's had a taste for doing... Can we not update that reference?
Yeah, but...
It could be Tsitsipas, I think.
Look,
he's into that kind of thing.
I'm afraid I did go straight to Boris Becker in my commentary description.
Everybody did, because there is no more up-to-date reference point.
It is the most iconic of it. I mean, so I do hesitate sometimes with my references to think, well, don't go back too far, because, you know, you're completely alienating people that have only been alive 20 years or something. But that is the one that immediately sprung to mind, I must say.
I don't think none of the commentary that I've been hearing has been worrying about it sort of stretching too back. John McEnroe's talking about the 70s sort of permanently.
But you said Djokovic's level was okay.
Yeah,
today,
and actually it was... I'm being quite generous for the first two sets. He was just getting through it. Mm. And Hurkacz has a sort of Andy Murray-type game. It's the first time I've seen him live in the flesh, and I sort of was expecting him to be more explosive. And then you start to realise, actually, he wants to work the rallies, and he ended up winning the second set by not really getting hold of a forehand return, which brought Djokovic in, and then he came up with a beautiful backhand pass to win the set, Hurkacz. Third set, it was just that classic thing where this player has reached the peak of this mountain by winning a set against Novak Djokovic and completely having nothing left for the rest of the match. And Djokovic also just steeled himself and started to find his timing. I wonder whether actually that is the match that will bring out the real Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, I thought actually Djokovic should have been in more trouble than he actually was, because he was looking irritated. He didn't have his timing, and at the start I was thinking, okay, but he'll get through it. But then Hurkacz raised his level to such an extent that he couldn't get away with being as subpar as he was anymore, Djokovic. And the climax of that second set was just absolutely glorious. But it was experience, wasn't it? It was Djokovic knew that a guy that's never been in this position before is going to have a mental letdown yeah. after winning a set like that, and it only took him upping his level one notch to just slam the door in Hurkacz's face, sort of all of his little hopes crushed and shattered across court number one. It was a real victory for experience, I thought, today, because tennis-wise, he was in trouble today.
But how good does his tennis need to be to reach the final? The highest-ranked player left in Djokovic's half of the draw is Raonic, number 17, and Djokovic has a 9-0 head-to-head record against Raonic.
And the match that we were expecting him to play in the next round ain't going to happen. Felix Auger-Aliassime is serving to stay in the match. Two sets to love down, 5-3 down against Hugo Humbert as we come to you. Now, Humbert may give him a good match, but I would have expected Auger-Aliassime at full throttle in that fourth round might have been a really tasty match, and we're not going to get to see that.
I think it's fair to say that this hasn't been the tournament for the men's next gen, has
no.
it? It's not been about the hashtag next gen.
No, not
that
at
is,
all.
That's a
In fact, can we just shift that tag to the WTA, because they're doing way better.
Yeah, Auger Aliassime, he's missed a few opportunities this year. I mean, there's absolutely no reason really to criticise Auger Aliassime this year, but when he's had a chance, he's not taken it yet. He's obviously
it's
lost.
Surprising this.
He's lost the three finals, though. He had the loss against Lopez at Queens doesn't seem that bad, given that Lopez went on to win the tournament, but that was a chance. And now here to get into the second week of Wimbledon against a fellow player.
This isn't youth versus experience.
Yeah.
This is somebody he should be beating. Even at this young age, he should be beating Hugo Humbert. Hugo Humbert was out playing doubles last night until about 10 p.m. In fact, he was Marius Koppel, his partner. They lost to Murray and Herbert. Marius Koppel was trying to conceal his irritation with Hugo Humbert because he was letting the side down.
You were mentioning Matt Milos Raonic, potential, is it semi-final?
Yeah.
A semi-final opponent of Djokovic. And in Raonic's quarter, he's beaten Riley Opelka today, who I don't know, I didn't really understand Opelka's performance. I think, Matt, you told me that you think he was injured.
Yeah.
And actually, looking back on it, I mean, he hit 10 aces in four games at the start of the match, and then he only hit three more in the next 2.5 sets. So that does suggest there was a physical problem. He lost in straight sets to Raonic. And Raonic has got Bautista Agut in that section. He's got, who else?
Where's
Benoit Paire.
Yeah. And Guido Paella. So it's those four, Raonic, Paella, Bautista Agut, Paire. One of them will be in the semi-finals.
Wow, which is surprising.
And I think that was the section of the draw that people thought could open up. I think that was Anderson and Zverev's quarter, and it has. It's just burst. And
so Raonic against Paella is next, and then it's Bautista Agut against Paire.
Just hold that thought for a second, David. Matt is saying Paella.
No, it's Paella, definitely.
Well, I thought this, but Matt is our resident
Guido
Spanish speaker.
Double L is a...
No. But apparently he's from some region where it's actually...
Okay.
It's all... You have to double down on
I
it
will.
And go Paella. But you are
Asia.
Making me question it.
Okay.
I'm pumped at this point, getting this right, hopefully. Fernando Verdasco did win through in straight sets, which will probably sting Kyle Edmund even more. David Goffin, 7-5 in the fifth against Daniil Medvedev.
Daniil Medvedev,
who's a lovely bloke off the court, but my goodness, what happens to him when he gets on the court? Tell us about it, Matt.
Well, he started attacking the back of the court with his racket, the sort of backboard. He just lost it. He lost it with the umpire. He said, I'm not swearing. I'm saying it's bullseye, rather than
something else,
which was quite inventive and creative in the heat of the moment.
Can they
in the
disprove
fifth set.
That? No.
So
admissible in court. Wow.
Very clever.
But was he asked about it in press? Did you swear in Russian?
I've not seen whether it's been in. But everything that you like to see from David Goffin was there today. The foot speed, the change of direction with the shots.
Yeah, this has come from nowhere.
Bit of fight.
For Goffin.
Yeah, he found form in Halle.
Yeah,
he got to the semi-final, right? Yeah. But that's a really good win over Medvedev, because Medvedev is tough. You have to beat him.
My dad said he would have David Goffin as a member of his sailing crew.
Yes, this has become a thing for the last couple of days. Catherine's dad has a boat.
No, he doesn't even have a boat.
All right, well, he likes to sail.
In his dreams, he has a boat.
He likes to sail, and we had a discussion yesterday about characters in tennis.
We're not talking about, you know, champagne clinking, cushy, you know, millionaire sailing. We're talking about rugged cross the Pacific sailing, just to clarify.
On your own with one person.
A crew of people, crucially a crew.
And your dad has distilled his verdict.
Our Whittaker WhatsApp chat is now exclusively my dad determining whether or not he would be prepared to go sailing, whether he'd be prepared to have a certain tennis player in his crew or not.
Right, so when it comes to form and potential, you're either in the mix or you're not.
Yeah,
and
it's my dad's version of the mix.
When it comes down to personality types, it's about whether you're on the boat or not. So, who's on the boat?
Right then. I mean, to try and distill, my dad was sort of unprepared to specifically describe the criteria. It's an unmentionable. It's just a sort of feel. It's a gut feel criteria.
Because I was trying to get this out of him
situation.
Via you, wasn't I?
He said you should be able to divine from the players who do and don't get to come aboard what the criteria are.
who's on at the
he
moment?
He said, for example, Djokovic, no. Murray, yes. Lopez, yes. Federer, yes, if he provides the boat. Wawrinka, definitely.
Interesting. So I still don't understand the criteria based on that group of players.
Yeah, and then he threw in a curveball and he said, Henman, yes. Although later retracted that slightly and said Hedman was borderline. Kyrgios, I know we're not supposed to be talking about him, but he said, on Kyrgios, yes, he said, I wavered a little before including... No, sorry, that's Hedman.
sorry, Tim. Wavered, mate.
I said, would you have Kyrgios? And this was mid Kyrgios Nadal. Yeah, I mean, what a blow that will be to Tim's ego.
Kyrgios was on and off the boat about 28 times, folks.
He said, good question. I think not, but if he pleaded with me, I might give him a try. And I thought that was a good answer.
Might give him a sort of one harbour
trip. You're saying, if you're prepared to admit how much you want to be in my crew, then you're allowed to be you're therefore crew-worthy.
Right.
My brother said he'd probably eat all the fresh fruit on the first day and sleep through his watch, but you'd probably forgive him. But yeah, Goffin made the cut today. He said Ash Barty as well, very much in the crew.
I mean, Ash Barty's first in the queue, isn't she?
I'd say so. I suspect Pliskova would probably make the cut, although
really?
I haven't checked. She's quite gnarly, Pliskova, yeah.
Okay. I'm still misunderstanding the criteria.
No nonsense.
She's definitely blunt, Pliskova.
No nonsense.
She was asked today whether she looks out for the other Czech players. She said... No.
Well, surely you don't get on the boat if you don't look out for your mates.
Oh, that's a good point.
Apparently there are no conversation-based criteria. He's not interested in chat.
Right. Okay. I don't think I'm getting on this boat somehow. Right.
But yeah, so Goffin makes the cut, which I found unexpected.
The Tennis Podcast boat, folks.
It's like the mix, but nautical.
Yes. And actually, somebody sent in a mix based contribution yesterday and suggested that really what it should be is not about whether you're capable of winning the title, whether somebody thinks you could win the title. It's about whether you could make the semi-finals. I found that very interesting.
Why are people telling us what the mix
is?
No, I disagree with that.
The mix is they're in the mix. If you're not surprised if they win the title,
well,
if you're in the semi-finals, surely you're not surprised.
No.
Oh, that's got him thinking. Should we call it a day there?
It's a redundant chat, is what
Matt
it is.
Matt needs to have a night's sleep on that.
Vondrousova reached the semi-finals of the French Open. She reached the final. I mean, was she in the mix at the start of the tournament?
I don't know. Right, order of play for tomorrow. Let's have a look. What we got? It all starts... There's loads of stuff on tomorrow, isn't there? Because including Serena Williams and Andy Murray, who were supposed to play today and didn't. Got cancelled.
Yeah, due to the late running of... I think the plan was to pop it on centre after Coco Gauff
and
Plano Herzog.
And also because Serena's been scheduled at 1 tomorrow, so she couldn't have gone late.
Yeah. Get the appetizer out of the way, Serena, and then
exactly,
back out you come. And Andy Murray's not before 2 in men's doubles with... with Pierre-Hugues on court too, which is a surprise, but they have got scheduling issues tomorrow. Jamie Murray, incidentally, while we're on doubles, lost today alongside Neil Skubski.
Five-setter. So tomorrow, Ash Barty starts on centre court against Harriet Dart at 1 o'clock. Joe Wilfred Tsonga against Rafael Nadal. God, I hope Tsonga brings him
and
we have a cracker.
I think he's going to have a bit of defiance in him because he's really peeved about the Tomic fine, isn't he?
I do quite
he
like the fact that he's peeved.
Yeah.
What's your view on it?
If I was Tsonga.
What do you think about the fine? Because, I mean, Ben Rothenberg has made a very strong case about the fact that he's won a number of games in that match, Tomic, and he has this certain style, this body language, and he's just got absolutely hammered to the point of losing money.
I don't agree with Ben that you should never fine somebody for their efforts during a match. I do think that that is a valid course of action and a valid safety net for certain abuses of sportsmanship that could happen, but I don't quite feel great about the finding of Tomic. It was all the worst of Bernard Tomic. He didn't cover himself in any glory at all. There was nothing to be proud of out there, but you know, losing a set 6-4 and being fined for not having given your best effort throughout, I don't know about that. And I do think it is disrespectful to Joe Wilfred Tsonga. If I were him, I would be mighty peeved.
I was pleased that he spoke up.
Yeah.
And I do think finding all the prize money is a bit extreme. I mean, you have to put in effort to actually be in a Grand Slam in the first place.
And then everyone piles in and says he should have to pay back the hospital, you know, the money for his food and accommodation and everything, and it suddenly does just feel like
and there's this case at the moment which is under review from the French Open with, is it Anna Tatashvili, who was who the same thing happened to. She'd been fined her prize money for a lack of effort in a 6-love 6-1 defeat to Sakkari, but in that 6-love 6-1 defeat she won 31 points, which, you know, is quite a lot given the score line, which I think it's a bit of a slippery slope if you're judging it on sort of scores and just a feel for a player. I think it's complex.
So anyway, Tsonga against Nadal second on, then Luca Puig against Roger Federer on court one, Serena Williams against Yulia Gerges, which I think was a semi-final last year, wasn't it? Third round this time, Sloane Stephens against Johanna Konta is for me probably the match of the day.
Is that on court one?
Court one second on. Crikey. And then Dan Evans against Joao Sousa is after that, so that's going to be very interesting. We have Petra Kvitova against Magda Linette after that. We have Andy Murray in the doubles, as you said, on court two, second on, not before 1 o'clock. Kiki Bertens, who escaped against Taylor Townsend, is against Barbora Strzitzova. Kei Nishikori opens court three at 11 o'clock. Alison Risk, Belinda Bencic.
That's one to watch.
That's a good match on court 12. So there's loads of stuff going on tomorrow. We'll be doing our predictions, our daily prediction each in our newsletter, which you can sign up to. We'll be putting the link on social media if you haven't already signed up. If you've been signed up for ages and you're just not getting any, check your junk folder and stop laughing.
I think law of averages, you should get 50-50.
Yeah. Check your junk folder. Why can't they call it something else other than junk folder? It makes me feel really bad that we're talking about our newsletter going in there. Anyway,
got to get one tomorrow.
At Tennis Podcast on Twitter. Follow us on there and on Instagram. We're on all these things. Tell all your friends about the Tennis Podcast. Just, you know, don't care who it is, just tell them, they might like it. Have a think about who you want on your tennis podcast boat from the world of tennis, because that's vital, so that we know who's going to be going sailing with Dad Whittaker. And Catherine and Matt and me, we will be back with another one of these tomorrow. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.